As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
I'm here, so.
I'm Shea Gibbs-Alexander and I'm down to dunk.
Howdy, Oklahoma.
My name is Chet Holmgren and I'm down to dunk.
Dead gum.
I'm Josh Giddey
and I'm down to dunk.
This is Lou Dort,
and I'm down to dunk.
Is that like you eat it together?
Everybody tells him to get the bag of burgers.
I need like a straw. Like.
Howdy.
I'm an artist on the court.
This is Jay Will, and I'm down to dunk.
My name is Kenrich Williams, and I'm down to dunk.
It might be Aaron Wiggins.
This is a troll. It's a troll. I'm trolling.
Howdy, Papa.
I think it would take away from who he is, you know?
Yeah.
I love Oklahoma. I love Oklahoma to death.
This is Lou Dort,
and I'm down to Dort.
Perfect. Good. Very good.
I like the hat.
You like the hat?
Vava?
This is J-Dub, and I'm down to dunk. I've been doing a lot of dunking.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. I'm your host, Andrew Schleich. We're part of the Athletic Podcast Network. With me, really never ever at 1 a.m. on a Thursday, it's my good friend Alex Spears. Alex, what's up?
What's up, Andrew? Only 11 p.m. in Portland, Oregon.
Wow. See, that's the West Coast is the best coast, man, especially for the NBA.
It really is.
I mean, there's just no question about that. Man, big time win for the Thunder tonight. Just absolutely obliterated the Pelicans after a pretty like strange first game, I would say, like a mostly awful first game where, and you said this, I think you said this on Twitter in a text where you just kind of felt like there are stats here that show that this is probably a really good thing for the Thunder. And there's stats that show this is like a really good thing for the Pelicans. Like you should feel good either way. And Willie Green sat actually in this very chair that I'm sitting in and said the exact same thing before the game, that it was kind of a hard game to evaluate because I think that both teams could walk away from it feeling good. And the Thunder came into this game and obviously making threes helps a lot, but it just felt like they had just a game plan that was ready to destroy the Pelicans.
Yeah. By the time I got to tonight, I decided I'm just going to like throw out game one. Cause it's just like, it's too weird. I don't really feel like I could take anything away from it. Yeah. This game was like the biggest overcorrection. Like anything you didn't like about what the Thunder did in game one, they didn't just fix it. They like aced the test.
Yeah.
Like they won the rebounding battle. New Orleans only got 8 offensive rebounds after getting 18 in game one. They shot whatever they shot from three, 50% or whatever.
Yeah.
What did they shoot? Yeah, they shot 48.3%. They didn't turn the ball over, like hardly at all. I mean, they ended up with 8 turnovers, but in the main part of the game, they probably had like 4 through three quarters or something. Like they just weren't turning the ball over at all. And then they were turning over the Pelicans a ton.
Yeah.
And a lot of that was offensive fouls, which was...
Wasn't that crazy?
The amount? It was kind of bizarre. I think it was like 7 or 8 of their...
I think it was 8 offensive fouls, which is insane. I mean, that's an insane amount of turnovers via offensive foul.
And they didn't show replays on a lot of them, but they did show the one on Jose Alvarado.
Yeah.
Setting a screen on, I think it was Dort. And it was just, it was so bad. It was like so obviously an offensive foul. So, yeah, it was just like they fixed everything. Like everything was better. And so now I'm like, well, I don't know how much I want to take away from this game. Like, I would just like to see like a semi-normal game. Can they just shoot like 38% from three and I can see what this team is like? Because, I mean, they just killed in this game, like every single aspect of the game. They're really like the one thing I could say is like, why are we still playing Gordon Hayward 10 minutes? That's really all the only complaint I really have.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't even, after this game, I don't even know how you could truly even complain about it because they looked so good. And it all really started with Chet. And it was a very interesting start to the game, which is, I think, where this kind of all begins with like this chess match between Degnault and Willie Green. And and this is kind of what we talked about in our preview is like, how do we like deal with this Valanciunas, you know, or going small problem that the Pelicans are going to have to like grapple with, and the Thunder have to make them make choices. And the Thunder made them make choices, you know, in this one. And it was very, very interesting to see the game start out with Valanciunas just being really, really good. Yeah, he scored like the 11 points.
Yeah, so good that it's like, okay, like I get that he is theoretically an advantage, but there is a limit. Okay, he can't shoot 100%. That would be bad for us. I'm pretty sure that would be bad if Valanciunas never misses a shot for the rest of the game. And he was scoring like so easily.
Yeah.
Like it every trip down the floor, it felt automatic. And if they don't, if OKC doesn't start out, like I think they start out like 3 of 4 from three, mm-hmm. two of those being Chet.
Mm-hmm.
Like who knows what happens with that game? Because by making those threes, it just completely nullified what Valanciunas was doing. Like it just ended up not mattering at all, even though it yeah. should have. I mean, he was scoring so easily.
Yeah, it just felt like, oh, like what is this? What's going to happen here? And Chet, I asked Chet after the game, I was like, you know what? Like what's going on in your head as Valanciunas scores like 11 quick points on you guys, you know, yeah. early on in the first quarter? So you guys obviously turned it around, but like in that moment, like what were you thinking? And he was just like, we just needed to settle into the game. Like we just needed to like find a way to settle into the game. So, you know, he wasn't going to score 100 points on his own, you know? And so they just,
I'm glad they felt that way. Cause I did think, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be the Valanciunas wilt game. Oh no. But yeah. Hey, credit to Chet. Cause like, after that initial flurry, he was really battling Valanciunas.
Chet was, this I think was maybe like the coming out party for Chet, like for like the country basically. Cause I don't know how many people across the country watched the Thunder on a regular basis, but this was one of Chet's better games defensively, offensively in that first half. Dude, he was unbelievable hitting threes, getting to the bucket. This wasn't in the first half, but he had that moment where he took it to Brandon Ingram. Looked like Brandon Ingram got hurt. I think Reggie Miller apparently on the broadcast said that he hit him in the liver.
He did say that.
And then he dunked it. A crazy offensive game from Chet. And I hope that we can kind of grasp a little bit that like this is Chet's rookie season. Like, and he's going to get better as an offensive player. He's going to get better as a defensive player. And this is where we would have these crazy conversations where it was like, you know, Chet could end up being the best player on this team. And I still like, there's still a part of me that believes that. And tonight was like that first half, you could point to that and be like, there it is. Like, that's how that guy can be the best player on this team, is like he does these kinds of things where you just, no one can stop him. And he completely flips the game plan of the opposing team, because you can't guard him with a big, you can't guard him with a small guy either. You know, he's one of those chess pieces that if you're the Thunder and Mark Daigneault, you're just like, man, I'm so glad we have this guy, because he kind of makes all of this work.
Yeah, you almost would rather put like Herb on him, probably, because I think to like the Timberwolves game, like the reason why it works for them is because you have someone like Jaden McDaniels,
yeah,
who is really long and it can work. But yeah, they don't, you know, assuming that you are trying to get Herb on Shea, which we can talk about that. Like if you don't have Herb, it's like, well, you're not going to put like Trey Murphy on him. Like, that's, I mean,
yeah.
I like Trey Murphy, but he's not like that level of defender. So yeah, it was an awesome game from Chet. And the other thing I wanted to point out on the rebounding, it wasn't always that Chet was getting the rebound, but I thought he was so much better at being active on the board, specifically like when Jonas was going for an offensive board, just hitting it away from Jonas.
Yeah,
like just hitting it to someone else. Like, I just don't want Jonas to get it. Someone else will get it. And that led to so many missed opportunities, like missed second chance opportunities for the Pelicans.
Yeah.
Just by being active, like just getting his hands in there, even when he wasn't going to get the board. So yeah, it was a really awesome Chet game. And it kind of needed to be early on. Mm-hmm. Because when you saw Valanciunas coming out like that, it's like, we kind of need Chet to be this good on the other end for them to even start like thinking about like, okay, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
And
that's true.
I keep going back to, well, actually I wanted to bring up something. So I follow some Pelicans accounts on Twitter, mm-hmm. and it was very interesting.
Like fan accounts.
Yeah. 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 Okay. No, the official account. Yeah. I follow the team account. I'm about to tell you something the team tweeted.
All right. Continue.
and I saw some Pelicans fans, their like game plan idea going into mm-hmm. this game was let Chet shoot. We want Chet to shoot, which I thought was so funny because that
really
was what we were saying. Yes.
It's like,
yes.
Like we got to get him shots is what we were saying.
Yeah. And basically the idea was, well, we don't want Shea and J-Dub taking shots.
Yeah.
And so like, let's let Dort and Chet. No one's bringing up Giddy. This is why I'm so confused about the Giddy thing, because it's like, why are they not doing what they did previously? Like, just try it out.
You mean cross matching?
Because this isn't working.
I think they will do it. I asked Mark about it pregame, and I said, were you surprised that there wasn't any cross matching in game one? First, Mark completely roasted me. Did you see this?
No, what do you say?
So I have my finger is all messed up, and I'm wearing this brace.
So, why do you have the brace?
Because I have mallet finger, and I have to keep it straight for 6 weeks so that the ligaments can heal.
As a loser finger.
And it's my middle finger, so I'm just like, you know, just constantly just like this all the time. But I grab the mic, and I start to ask Mark about the cross-matching. And he is not listening to a word I'm saying. He just is looking at my finger the whole time. And he was like, what is wrong with your finger? He just like interrupts me to ask me what was wrong with my finger. And I didn't want to say the story. We're sitting here in a press conference that's being recorded. It's like, can we just talk about this some other time? And he's like, well, what's the injury? Like, what happened? How did you do it? And I was like, well, I said, I have mallet finger. It's this torn ligament. And I did it while I was gardening. And he just gets like this smirk on his face. And he was like, wow, gardening is that's a contact sport. And just like starts to just, he actually like stuck his tongue out. Like he was so proud of himself for his joke.
Are you going to be grabbing the mic with your other hand going forward?
Well, it's just like, it's like so instinctual because it's hard to think that many things at once, because in your head, as you're sitting there, you're thinking, okay, here's what I want to ask. How am I going to ask it? Like specifically, how am I going to say these words?
Yeah.
And so you just grab the mic and you start talking. And so I don't know. I don't know if I guess I could hold it like this. But
so what did he say about the cross matching?
He just said that he thought that they will do it. He's like, they didn't do it in game one. He's like, I don't know if they'll do it tonight, but that he's like, they're going to do it. You know, like it's going to happen. You know, it's a part of what they do. And so he said, he said that his assumption is that we'll see it at some point. And like they're kind of expecting it to happen.
Yeah. I mean, I'm expecting it to happen just because I think what's happening right now, I don't think it is a good answer. I don't think
you think.
I mean, Chet's just getting like wide open threes.
Wide open threes, and that's what we talked about. That's what I talked about after the game. It's like you have to make them pay for it. If that's the decision that they make, you make them pay for it, and you make them pay for it with the dribble drive. You make them pay for it with wide open shots for Chet. You completely open up the offense with it. Like you have to make them pay. They didn't make them pay in game one for it. A lot of it was that they just weren't making shots. But I think that they made some like subtle adjustments there. I mean, they had times where they would just have Dort as like the low man, or they'd have even J-Dub as a low man, and they would be setting screens and getting guys free. I mean, it was like a masterclass of adjustments from the Thunder in this one. And you know, the Pelicans had that like nice run at the beginning of the game, but really after that, it was all over.
Yeah, I mean, the only other time was when Willie Green went to zone. I think that was in the second quarter.
Yeah.
And you could start seeing the offense bog down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And let me make sure I get his name right. I tweeted out his it's Coach Pryor, I think.
Okay.
I hope that's his name. I hope that's his name, Andrew. But he tweeted out some videos. Oh, yeah. Coach Gibson Piper, half court hoops.
Hmm.
And he showed first a clip where basically what he was saying, like when the ball gets to the high post in a zone, the defense will usually shift to man.
Mm-hmm.
And so what the Thunder did was they put Shea in the middle. And so that when Shea caught the ball, the defense shifted to man, and all of a sudden that put Larry Nance on to Shea. And that was their way of kind of solving the zone. I also think that when they went to the zone, like J-Will was on the court and Giddy was on the court.
Mm-hmm.
And so they eventually took Giddy off.
I was going to say, you didn't have the right personnel to solve the zone with those guys.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree with you just in the sense that like Mark was doing things throughout that game. I mean, just the Shea's game, because his game one, it was like flashbacks to that Memphis series when like Tony Allen was like just really into KD.
Yeah.
And it was like, KD's going to get his points, but it's going to look disgusting.
Yeah.
And he's never going to look comfortable.
Yeah. It's going to be really tough.
He made a lot of tough shots tonight. I really mm-hmm. like that one shot. I think it was in the first quarter when he like shot the fadeaway on the baseline and then ended up somehow like on the ground, like on one knee. It almost looked like he planned it. But not only was he hitting like really tough shots, he was generating so many more easy shots, easy looks. And a lot of that was just getting Herb off of him, which they did a lot of that off ball, taking advantage of the Pelicans like switching on defense. And so he got a lot of opportunities against guys like Trey Murphy or even CJ, who I feel like they were mm-hmm. targeting CJ a lot in that game. Mm-hmm. And you just saw so many more easy looks compared to game one. And so, yeah, he made some amazing shots, like some just stupid mid-range shots and some step-back threes that were really good.
Yeah.
But he just looked so much more comfortable overall.
Yeah, he did. I mean, even just like slicing to the rim, there was like – the wall wasn't there anymore.
Yeah.
You know, he was able to get to the hoop with ease. And I'm very curious to see if that continues throughout the rest of the series. You kind of look across the league with how game twos went, especially in Boston tonight. Holy smokes. That was.
I know. I was getting nervous because it's like, I think the last three road teams had won.
Yeah, and it was
Pacers, Mavs, and Heat.
Yeah, and it was just like these adjustments that were being made, and it was really not as adjustments as much as it was also excuse me, I'm drinking this Topo Chico, and it's just like, this is a bad idea to drink it during
Sounds like
a
it's coming back up.
It's a really bad idea to drink during a podcast.
Did you hear that there was a guy in Loud City who puked on a row in front of him?
No.
Yeah, someone tweeted that out, and I have to choose to believe it. I'm assuming it's true. And there was a fight, and someone got ejected.
Really?
This was all in one tweet. I wish I could find the tweet, but yeah.
Wow.
Apparently Loud City was getting crazy tonight.
Loud City's getting crazy tonight. I got the upgrade down to the 108 section, and I apologize to any dunkers that tried to find me in 104, but they bumped me down to 108.
Did you meet the Harrisburg guy?
I ran into him.
Oh,
like
good.
On the street before game. I was scouting places to shoot video.
Yeah.
And I like randomly ran into him.
Well, good, because he probably would have been pissed.
Got him a sticker. I talked to so many dunkers tonight. I passed out so many stickers tonight. It was very good. Cool. We should see lots of down to dunk stickers around OKC. Now, don't have any clue what I was trying to talk about.
Yeah, I don't remember what we were talking about.
But the Thunder were very good. I thought J-Dub was also awesome. He had 21, 5, and 7. He was very surprised at the number of assists that he had. After the game, Nick Gallo had told him, like, you had a lot of assists tonight. And he, like, kind of stopped and was like, I had a lot of assists tonight? He's like, yeah, you had 7. And he was like, oh. He was very surprised that he had 7 assists. But I thought J-Dub was really good. He only had 2 turnovers tonight, too. Like, the turnover battle was, like, also a big deal. They only had 8 to the 17 that the Pelicans had. And just the fact that these guys could get whatever shot they want. I mean, J-Dub had the pull-up going. He was getting to the basket. He was, you know, passing and moving off ball. You know, he hit a 3 himself. I just think that if you have Shea, J-Dub, and Chet cooking like they did at the level that they are, I just think this Thunder team is going to be as close to unstoppable as they can be. I think they shot as a trio. I put the chart out there. 65%. They were 32 of 49 as a trio.
Yeah.
And like, you're just not going to beat this Thunder team. You just will not whenever they shoot the ball like that.
And the, like the 3-point shooting, yeah, that's going to change game to game. But like, these are 3 efficient players. Like, they have been efficient the entire season. So it's not, I mean, I remember talking at the beginning of the season, we would be looking at the box score and every single one of these guys is shooting like what kind of what they're doing tonight, 9 of 13, 10 of 17, 13 of 19. Like, they're going to have a lot of games like that just because they are so efficient. And because when the offense is clicking, it just leads to a lot of easy shots for these guys. And part of that is getting out in transition, which they were much better at in game 2. And part of that was the turnovers. Although, like, those offensive turnovers, they don't necessarily lead to fast breaks. But, like, they were just pushing the ball a lot more, even after makes in game 2. So, yeah, they corrected everything. And so I'm really interested to see what game 3 looks like. Mm-hmm. Because that game 1, I mean, that looked like a team, the Pelicans, who could take a couple games off the Thunder.
Yeah, they did. They looked like,
and then in game 2, they just look completely outclassed. So I'm assuming we're going to get another good Pelicans game at some point.
Yeah,
but this game 3, I mean, geez, I mean, the sweep is still a possibility, Andrew.
I was going to say, you got to be feeling pretty good about your sweep pick.
I'm feeling pretty good. You know, my thinking was, no one's going to remember if you pick a team in 5 or 6 and you get it right. Who cares?
The pick in five was a coward's way out. I'll admit it. It was very cowardly of me.
So I'm interested to see what happens, because as we've talked about, this Pelicans team, and they talked about on the broadcast tonight, they were the best road team in the league, I think.
And they were not good at home.
Correct. They were 21-19 at home.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see. I think it's still a possibility. I am more respectful of the Pelicans after 2 games, I would say, in my head.
Okay.
Than I was previously. I will say, though, I do not like Brandon Ingram's game. He is not enjoyable to watch. And to OKC's credit, like, they're a part of that. Like, yeah, he almost averaged.
He's not fun against the Thunder specifically.
Yeah, yeah. He almost averaged 6 assists per game in the regular season.
Isn't that wild and, to think about?
Yeah, and I saw some Pelicans accounts tweeting about this, which was they were pointing out that OKC was just throwing Dort on him and say, hey, if you want to play one-on-one with Dort, have a great time. We're not sending any extra help because that's when he's able to make some of those passes, kick out to wide-open shooters. They were just saying, hey, go have fun with Dort. Do the best you can. And he had a good third quarter. I think he scored like 12 in that third quarter. It seemed like he was starting to figure some things out. But like when he's in that mode, he's not making anyone else better on the team. Like even when he's scoring, it doesn't really feel that impactful. Yeah. And so
it's the same thing with Jonas. Like it's with both those guys. And those are really the only offensive like hubs that they have are those two. But whenever they are the ones that are controlling the ball, it's like everybody just stands around and watches them and they just hope that they can score and there's no flow. It kind of takes them out of everything that they could do to generate more threes. I mean, you saw them basically go to that ISO a little bit more to both those guys, and it removed Trey Murphy from the equation for the most part. Also, the Thunder did a good job on the glass and didn't allow second chance points, which was a part of like the reason why the Pelicans couldn't get into this one either, is that there was just no real opportunities for second chance points.
Yeah, Valanciunas had a real Enes Kanter line tonight. 19-7 in 23 minutes. Wow.
Yeah.
Minus 14. That is some classic Kanter right there.
That is classic can't play Kanter.
And the thing about Kanter was always like, because there would be times when Kanter's just like cooking offensively.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And it's like when he's doing that, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
But when he's just like a little bit less than that, all of a sudden it becomes a question. And for Jonas, it was like, yeah, when he scored those 11 straight points, it was like, oh my God, looks unstoppable. But then he got an offensive foul on a play. And then Chet blocked. Oh my God, that play where Chet blocked him and then came down the court and shot the mid-range, he missed it. But if he had hit that,
if it would have gone down,
oh my God, what a sequence that would have been.
I was talking to Tyler Parker about this after the game, and he said that he thought the crowd was actually better in game two than it was in game one.
Really?
And I think some of that could have just been that the crowd was loose and like had like lots of big moments to cheer for rather than just a stream of nervousness.
Yeah,
that was game one. There were just a lot more moments where you like the pop.
You could just the top was popping up.
Yeah, everybody was very very excited. It was a very fun crowd.
Well, I've heard multiple Thunder fans say like, you know, big picture, this is a really good first opponent for OKC because you feel like you're clearly better than them, but they do have some very particular strengths, advantages. And that first game was like the perfect first playoff game to kind of get you back in the swing of things. Like I'd much rather it be like the way it was game one, game two, than if it was reversed and we had just gone through like a really scary game. Because that if we had had that type of game, the blowout game in game one, I would have gotten way too hyped.
Well, I think that's what happened with a lot of these other teams too. I think psychologically, if you're the team,
Andrew, you're cutting out.
Uh-oh. Am I still cutting out?
No, okay. You're fine.
Okay.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help you find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. When it's time for me to find a job, I went right to LinkedIn Jobs. They helped me find the right employer, and it was, man, very, very easy process. LinkedIn isn't just a job board. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else. Even those who aren't actively searching for a new job might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. LinkedIn knows that small businesses are wearing so many hats and might not have the time or resources to hire. LinkedIn is constantly finding ways to make the process easier. They even just launched a feature that helps you write job descriptions, making the process even easier and quicker. 2.5 million small businesses use LinkedIn for hiring. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/dunk. That's linkedin.com/dunk to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is meme mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think like the Celtics probably went into that second game thinking, no Jimmy Butler, no problem. Like we're gonna kill these guys.
Yeah.
And I just think there is something psychological where like the Thunder, I think you could look at that game one and say, oh man, if that shot from CJ goes down, then what? You know, where are we? And so I think you could almost like manufacture like a loss in your brain, like pretty easily. And the guys sat up here and talked about it after the game that they kind of did that, where it's like, man, like this was not a foregone conclusion that we were going to win that first game. Like we have to go into the next one with the mindset that this was not something that was, you know, that's going to be given to us. And they did exactly that. Whereas these other teams like the Bucks and the Celtics, you know, go into their second game and felt like, all right, yeah, we got this. And like, no, I think there is a lot of like psychology when it comes to these playoff series that I don't think, you know, players and teams necessarily anticipate.
Because now they go into this game three with just such a huge opportunity, because if you win this game, the series is over,
yeah,
essentially. Yeah. Has a team ever come back? No, right?
From what?
Down 3-0?
NBA? I don't know if they've come. I mean, surely they have. Surely there's been a team that wins game four.
And then
it's 3-1. I don't know.
It's happened zero times. This says the Seriously? Unfortunate answer is zero times. Yeah.
Wow.
So you can shut the book. Shut the book.
Yeah.
Close the door on them.
I mean, I honestly, like watching the first two games, the Pelicans had like their best swing at it in game one. Like that was, you get five threes from Trey Murphy. You have like a monster game from Valanciunas where he's like effective and can play minutes and plays 29 minutes in the game. Now, if Larry Nance is out, there's no other counter. Like, what do you do?
Andrew, you're forgetting someone.
What?
Cody Zeller is on the bench.
That's true. I mean, I it's hard to forget about Cody Zeller whenever you just see him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We might get some Zeller minutes.
You think so? I mean, I think the Thunder would be very excited if
they No, saw I mean they probably Cody should Zeller. Just play super small. That lineup that Mark played, This is why I don't like when he says things like, well, we played Hayward because we needed some size. It's like, dude, you played a five-man lineup with J-Dub as the center. Come on.
Come on.
Why are you playing Gordon?
I think, I don't know. I don't know why they play Gordon. I still think Gordon can really shoot the ball. I just want to see him do it.
I don't know. He's never going to do it, Andrew. It's over. It's over.
I mean, it's not. He's going to have his Batum game very soon.
No, he's not. I will say,
blow everybody's mind.
For Mark, he did cut it down to 10 tonight.
Yeah.
Through the main part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, and he didn't play Kenrich, which was kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, he got some garbage time minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I feel like he's getting closer. Because if you can get it to 9,
mm-hmm.
take away those Hayward minutes. Give those to give them a little to Wiggins, Isaiah Joe. And then maybe depending on the matchup, you're playing some J Will or Kenrich, a 9-man rotation. I'm hoping, I'm kind of willing it to happen that that's where this is headed, because it's not an issue right now, has not been an issue, but those 10 minutes of cardio for Hayward every game are going to be a lot more annoying if they get to the second round and are playing a team like the Dallas Mavericks or the Los Angeles Clippers.
Yeah, totally agree.
I think it will eventually matter. It does not seem like it matters right now, but
it definitely did not matter tonight. Definitely
did not matter tonight.
You
know how one more Gordon thought. You know how
one more Gordon
draft
thought.
We'll talk about players. Like I remember Andrew Wiggins. They said like sometimes he'll disappear during games.
Yeah,
I feel like Gordon. That's just like his base state. His disappearance. He's like a ghost on the court.
It is.
I've never watched a player who I like just don't even think about when he's on the court.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't even enter my mind.
It's been strange and seems psychological to me. Like
What did we do? What did we do to him?
I don't know. It is strange.
He was plus 12 though.
He was was almost everybody. So I don't know. I don't know what to do with it. I see him shooting in practice and it looks great.
Other thoughts. I thought Dort had another strong game. He was so good.
He
shot 4 of 6 from 3. He missed that early three and he's doing this weird thing on some of his threes where he's almost like he's doing a little skip forward. Yeah. It's a weird thing. But then he made one while also doing that. And I mean, it looks cool when it goes in. I don't know why he's doing it all of a sudden.
Dort likes to do random things. He contested a Brandon Ingram shot with two hands at one point in the game, which was really cool.
You wouldn't have seen this. There was a play.
Mm-hmm.
Dort got called for a foul against Brandon Ingram.
Mm-hmm.
And Ingram walks towards the sideline where the Pelicans bench is. And you can see Zion in the background. And Zion yells at Lou. He says, "Hey, Lou." And I'm trying to read his lips. I'm pretty sure he said, "Stop all of that flopping BS." Something like that.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure that's what he was saying.
He's getting in their heads a little bit.
And I will say, Lou was flopping around a little bit. That one play where Ingram, like, it didn't even look like he pushed him off that much. And Lou Dort just went flying to the ground.
Hey,
he was like 4 feet away from him on the ground.
Hey, you can't mess around with Lou, man. Like he knows how to create advantages as a defender.
Well, I feel like he has his ability to generate offensive fouls for the other team has like slowly seeped into the other players.
Yeah.
And tonight was like the ultimate like showcase of that.
They drew 8. Because
drew 8 offensive fouls. That's so stupid.
It was J-Dub had the first one. J Will had the second one. I'm trying to think who else had him. I mean, it was just a bizarre sequence of events. Yeah, one of them was Lou just kind of flying as JV had him. A lot of them were just screens too. You know, Shea drew one. Remember Shea drew one where Trey Murphy, you know, was setting a screen and he fell to the ground. I mean, it was quite a performance by the Thunder on that end, for sure.
And just like, we haven't really talked about it, but big picture, like their defense tonight was just so good.
Dude.
Team.
Yeah. Their team defense, they've looked like one of the better defensive teams in the playoffs so far, because they can cover the perimeter with everybody. Even I thought Giddey was good tonight. Giddey wasn't very good in game one, but I thought Giddey was pretty good at, you know, helping limit Trey Murphy 3-point attempts. So, this was a spectacular performance by the Thunder. Weird thing that happened. The NBA said that Chet had 3 fouls when he really only had 2. And I asked Mark about it after post game. I said, would you have pulled Chet from the game if you thought he had 2 fouls rather than 3?
Yeah.
And I kind of knew what his answer was going to be, but I wanted to hear him say it. And he said, well, of course not.
Yeah.
You know,
and he was weird.
And he was like, it wasn't the official's fault, because they're not the ones who keep tally of that. It's the NBA, you know? And
that's the second game in a row, Andrew.
There's
been some funny business.
Isn't that weird?
Is there someone out to get us?
It kind of feels like it. It feels very weird. The challenge thing was so weird. And like, there's this one particular Pelicans fan that like really wants to fight about it. And I won't tweet back with them, but there's people in my mentions that are fighting with him. It's just very weird. Where he
about
was like,
the challenge from the game one?
Yeah. He just wants to fight about it. He doesn't really understand it, but he wants to fight about it.
Interesting. But I wonder what he thought about the challenge in game two. Because that was a masterclass. That was some going back to classic, Mark.
I know.
Because I didn't see it live, like in the moment, and he pretty much immediately did the challenge. And if you didn't see it, first of all, I would suggest go watching the game. But
it's a great game. It's a great game to watch if you're a Thunder fan.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you didn't see it, Shea got pushed into Brandon Ingram and kind of clipped him a little bit on the hip. And so they called a foul. They challenge it. And then it ends up being a technical on Herb Jones. So it was like an awesome challenge.
Yeah.
Because you get a technical on Herb Jones. You get the technical shot. B.I. still gets to take his 2 free throws. But yeah, that was a really nice one by Mark.
Wasn't a challenge. That was just a review because Shea got hit in the head, in the face.
No, that's a different play. You mean the one where he got elbowed in the head? Yeah, by elbowed. BI? Yeah,
I didn't think that Shea got a technical free throw on the one you're talking about. I thought
he didn't.
No, because they called a foul
on Herb, right?
The foul got taken away from Shea and applied to Herb.
Okay, that was it. That was it.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Which is like a double whammy, like great challenge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you get your star player, you know, an extra foul basically, and you get a foul on their best defender. I mean, it was just outstanding. Just a masterclass from Mark in particular tonight.
Obviously, it wasn't a great game for the Pelicans, but Herb Jones, like, he was good.
Yeah.
Like, how many games are you going to get of Herb shooting 4-7 from 3, scoring 18 points?
Yeah.
Pretty good offensive game.
Yeah, I mean, but it impacted things not at all.
It didn't.
You know?
They just need more. They need someone who can break
dribble.
Down. yes, they need someone who can dribble a basketball and get by anyone.
Yeah.
That's not even really B.I.'s game either. He just kind of like wants to hang out in the mid range and shoot some goofy shots.
They
like
need
CJ's
a
not really that guy.
Oh, he's definitely not that guy.
He just doesn't put that much pressure on the defense. They just don't have anyone who can just get by anyone to create an advantage.
CJ's always been a secondary guy. He was always like a really, really good secondary guy, you know, in Portland for a long time. You know, it's almost as if they miss like this 6'6", 300-pound monster that can get to the rim and pass and dunk and rebound and all that stuff. It's almost as if they're missing that kind of guy.
It would be nice. He'd probably hurt their rebounding, though.
Yeah. He's
not a very good rebounder.
Hey. I'll be done in just a minute.
Oh, they're telling Andrew to wrap up. Presti himself has come down. Say, get out of there.
No, I promise you, Presti and everybody else is not here anymore. This is the cleaning crew trying to do their jobs. I'm probably one of the last people here right now. Anyways, yeah, the Pelicans sorely miss Zion Williamson. And like that's where you just kind of feel bad for the Pelicans fans because like this is a really good Pelicans team, but they definitely lack creation.
If Zion was here, we wouldn't be playing them because they probably would have won that game against the Lakers.
Yeah, 100%.
And we'd probably be playing the Lakers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. Yeah. Well, and it also kind of all goes back to like the first few drafts of this era where we were, you know, watching Presti do what he was doing. And it was like, man, why are they drafting so many ball handlers? Like, why are they drafting so many creators? You know, like are there too many creators? And now it's like, wow. Like you watch it in action. And when it's like really, really working, like Giddy had some like nice moments tonight. And whenever he's playing well, and it's Shea and it's J-Dub and it's Chet and Dort's like a part of this, who's been just an amazing shooter this year. It's like, oh, it's like,
when they were in the zone, that play by J-Will, like at the top of the key, that bullet pass to Giddy.
Playmaker. Just like, that's why I think that when we talk about like what it means to be a Thunder guy, you know, what it means to be a Thunder player today. Like why it's so important for them to be able to pass and see the floor and to make quick decisions. Like those are, it's like a prerequisite to being a Thunder player because this is how they're going to play. I mean, how many times have we watched Thunder games like before this era where the ball would just hit somebody's hands and they would just wait to make a decision or they would wait to know what to do or they would wait for something to happen to adjust. And it was just, it just doesn't really happen with this team. You know, the ball just moves and I think it's something that we could eventually and maybe even do now kind of take for granted a little bit because it is it's just a fun brand of basketball to watch. This is a really, obviously this is like a joyful team and like a really fun team to watch. And it's just, emphasizes again, just enjoy this because like we're in the good old days. This is it right now. It's amazing. It's amazing to be a part of this. It's amazing to watch it on TV. It's amazing to be at the arena. It's amazing to be a part of this fan base right now. And, you know, the style of basketball that we're going to get to watch in Oklahoma City for a while is just, I mean, it's great. Like, it's just really, really fun basketball to watch.
Yeah, you can do it the other way. But as we've seen with the Pelicans, like, you need that top-level talent. And they just don't have it right now, partly because of Zion. But even with Zion, I think there's a reason why a lot of Pelicans fans are talking about trading B.I. this summer. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just not that guy. Mm-hmm. And, man, he feels like a piston. He is, like, perfect for the Pistons. I'm not saying that in a complimentary way. He just feels like a Detroit Piston.
And not in a nice way.
Not really. No.
In like an 18 win kind of way. He's such a Piston.
You kind of do wonder with that Pelicans team, like not only if they had Zion, but if they just had like a good point guard. Yeah. Maybe not even a great point guard. Just like a good point guard. How much different could they potentially look? Because they've got some guys, man. Like, mm-hmm. we talk about wanting to limit Trey Murphy. I feel like part of it is they're doing it to themselves. Like, how do you go through that game and Trey Murphy only takes six threes? You know, like, how does he only take eight shots? Like, he scares me so much more than Brandon Ingram. Like, and I know he's not as good of a player as Brandon Ingram, but when I see that box score and that Trey Murphy only had eight shots, it's like, wow, that is a huge win.
Huge win. And that was kind of something that we talked about too. It's like, you got to limit his shots. Someone shot that the Thunder couldn't limit tonight was they had a fan make another half court shot tonight, won $20,000. It's two games in a row, two playoff games. That's $40,000 just drained from Mid First Bank into the bank accounts of Oklahomans. So
that's scary, because I actually have a Mid First account, and so I hope they're not pulling it from their customers.
Wow.
If they just keep hitting these half court shots game after game,
it's like, we need some help, Al.
They're gonna hit me up.
We need some help. We're dying here.
The guy Thunder, tonight, he's
Thunder won the championship. Right? Yeah, he's getting married. Yeah, the Thunder won the championship, and Mid First Bank has gone bankrupt. So, congratulations to everybody. No, I mean, it was cool. I mean, it was very cool. It was a very fun moment. Okay, I'm gonna end this podcast because I've got to go home. But this was amazing game. We'll have certainly more content coming at you. We are having a watch party at Lively Beer Works on Saturday. Game's at 2:30. You can show up early. We're gonna have food. There's gonna be some tasty beverages there. Of course, it is all ages. It'll be on a big screen. And it's going to be a delightful time. So come and enjoy that game with us. I will probably make some trivia videos too. So if you want to be a part of a trivia video, let me know. I will probably have that set up there. And would love to see
you
guys.
Do you want to hear a stat, Andrew?
Yeah, give me a stat before we go.
Okay, I mentioned that no team going down 0-3 has ever come back to win. Mm-hmm. Home court teams who go up 2-0 in the first round are 89-5.
Wow.
89-5.
Wow.
There's still those five, though.
That's crazy.
It's not done yet.
It's not done. But it's not done. You got to go win.
Got to go win.
Got to go take care of business.
And also, they have to have a game where they shoot like over 35% from three. God, they've been bad.
With the Pelicans?
They shot 27% tonight.
This is very bad.
One game after. What did they shoot in the first game? They shot even worse, right? Yeah, they shot 28.2%. Like, they're gonna have a game where they should probably get hot and shoot 40% from three.
One would think, but who knows.
Oh, by the way, last thing, this game was even slower than game one. I just looked up the pace was 93, game one was 94.
It was 93.
Yeah,
wow.
It felt faster.
It felt a lot faster. Maybe it's just because
it was not.
They had more made buckets. And the Pelicans took less corner threes in this game, too. The Thunder limited them to 11.
Okay.
In this one, they had 15 progress in the first one. They made more corner threes than they did in the first game, too. They made four.
Yeah.
And then the Thunder only took four corner threes total in this one. And they were 2 of 4. But they shot 15 of 19 in the restricted area. They shot 9 of 16 in the non-restricted paint. They were 8 of 14 from the mid-range. They were 12 of 25 from above the break three. I mean, they were on fire in this one. Pretty crazy. Okay, we'll have a Fry pod for you. We will have a post-game Saturday pod for you as well from Lively. Hope to see you guys there. It's going to be a blast. You're going to want to watch the game with a bunch of dunkers, so you better be there. Hope you guys enjoy tomorrow. It's great. It's always great to just have a day where everybody's just talking about your team being really good. So hope you guys enjoy that, and we'll talk to you guys again on Friday.